problems will go and good times will come. So that is darpa. Then third is abhiman. Abhiman is conceit. Because obviously when I have arrogance, when I have hypocrisy, then I get self-conceit. It is different from self-confidence or self-esteem. That is good, you know, to be confident about my abilities, to have a healthy sense of self-esteem. We even tell our children, you know, look, you need to be confident when you're going for your test or going for your exam. Make sure you do well. Make sure, you know, you have to be confident. Don't think, I don't know how I'm going to do in this test. I might flunk and I'm going for SATs. No, you have to have a healthy sense of self-esteem, healthy sense of self-confidence, and encourage their children to build that up. But that should not to lead to conceit. Again, where I have become so arrogant about my abilities that I don't think anybody is equal to me, because this becomes hard to maintain. When you, as we have said, when you are trying to project something you are not, then you are constantly struggling to maintain that. And then you look down on people who are not. So these are all connected. They are all connected. They all, one leads to the other. So this reminds me of a little story. There were these brother and sister, and the brother was very rich, was very successful. You know, he was a very rich businessman. But the sister, unfortunately, happened to marry a man who was ordinary, who was not very rich, had a small shop somewhere. And so she was an ordinary middle class, you can say. They lived in a small house and they were reasonably comfortable. But the brother always looked down upon the sister because he was so wealthy. He lived in this big mansion by the beach, and you know, he never invited the sister to his house for his parties or anything, gatherings. He felt that she's not up to my standard. She's not worthy of associating with, because he only associated with people who were of his standard, his caliber. People who could afford, you know, the standard of living that. And so he always looked down upon her. But it so happened that things changed, situations changed, and the sister slowly, because the husband was very honest and very hardworking and very sincere, and he would give people, in whoever came to his store, the right value for the money. He did not cheat anybody. He was very honest and truthful. He told them what the way it was. And he gave them a best value for their money. And so what happened is people came to know that if you go to his shop, you won't be cheated. You'll get what you deserve. You'll get what you are paying for. And so slowly his business increased. More and more people started coming to his shop. And soon his store was packed. And so he had no room. So he had to open a second store on the other side of the street, on the other side of the town. And then he had to open a third store. Soon he had 3 or 4 shops. And they were all busy because his employees were all very honest. And suddenly he became so rich. And now he could, you know, the sister could afford a big house, and they bought a house on the beach. And, you know, through honest hard work, not through cheating. And now the brother realized, oh, this sister is now, you know, come up in the world. So now suddenly he becomes very friendly with her. Oh, you know, sis, come over to my house. I have this grand party. You know, I'm inviting all the top people, the mayor and the senator and everybody. And you are also invited. So first time in her life, she gets invited to the brother's house. So she goes, you know, a brother has invited. And so they all sit down to eat. And there's this large table and all the top people are sitting. And she's sitting next to the brother. And the food is served. And before she's eating, she's wearing all this expensive jewelry that she had just bought. So she takes out all her jewelry and puts it on the plate right next to the food. What are you doing, brother? She's very embarrassed. You know, what's wrong with my sister? She says, brother, you didn't invite me. You invited my jewelry. I'm here only because I can afford jewelry. So let my jewelry eat. I don't need to eat. And she took it and walked out. So the point is that people who have this kind of self-conceit, they sooner or later, they suffer the consequences. So that is called abhiman or self-conceit. The next negative quality is anger. And a lot of times when we get angry, we justify that. you know, this person did like that and made me angry. I am not an angry person. But if that person hadn't said this, or if the person hadn't done it, if only the person would listen. And so we use anger as an excuse to become hurtful, because anger is a very destructive tendency, is a very destructive force. The person whom it hurts most is me. When I get angry at somebody, I am the one who is being hurt the most. The other person may or may not know I'm angry. Sometimes if the person is in a power of authority or in a place where I cannot, you know, touch him or I cannot, then I may be inside, I may be angry. Maybe my boss or maybe, you know, co-worker or somebody whom I'm angry with, but I cannot say anything. So what happens is the anger keeps on building up inside me, and it becomes a very destructive force, because when the mind is constantly under the force of anger, it is constantly stressed. You know, your adrenaline is always up, because, you know, we, in the olden days when we were living as cavemen in the forest, we had this phenomenon called fight or flight, where when there was a tiger or a, you know, a lion or a wolf or somebody, a bear, you had to fight. So you would either fight him if you had the, you know, the spear or the sword or the rocks, or if you couldn't fight, then you would flight, then you would run away. So adrenaline was needed at that time. Okay, I have to fight him, so I have to, you know, fight this bear or fight this tiger, so I need anger. And then if I cannot fight, then I run away. So for that also I need adrenaline, but that was temporary. Right? During the fight, I have adrenaline, or when I'm running, I have adrenaline. But all the time, I don't have this adrenaline level. After I have run away and escaped that bear or that tiger, then I am safe. Then I don't have to have that constant adrenaline. But in the modern society, we find that there is constant stress, constant conflict, constant problems. And so we are constantly angry. If we don't get angry at our neighbor, we're angry at terrorists. You know, some guy is bombing somewhere in, you know, somewhere is, why are these people doing? And we get so upset. You have nothing to do with that. I'm not saying that one should not follow the news, but unnecessarily getting angry at somebody whom you have no control over. Somebody is bombing, somebody killing. Okay, let him deal with his own consequences, the karmas. Why should I get myself all worked up and angry and upset? Or we get upset at what's happening in the town, you know, oh, people are, there is so much of this and so much of that and so much of murders. And what happens is the media builds up, you know, if there's one or two murders, they act like, oh, there is a crime wave going on. And then people get afraid, people get stressed out, people get angry. So it becomes a self-destructive. Constantly my mind is stimulated with that adrenaline. In the olden days, it was okay, fight or flight. But here I can neither fight nor I can run away from this situation. Say I'm in a job that is bad. Instead of being constantly angry at the boss, what is happening is your adrenaline, every day, every Monday, your adrenaline stimulated, you're angry. And then all day, Monday to Friday, you're under stress. So that's what leads to heart attacks, leads to high blood pressure, leads to, you know, migraine headaches, and leads to all this, you know, stress-related back problems, and, you know, all those things happen because I'm constantly stimulated, constantly with adrenaline. So anger, so, I mean, occasionally you may have to, but use anger. But again, do that without getting angry. Say your child is misbehaving. Better is to tell that person quietly and nicely. It works much better than getting angry or shouting, because then you might say things you might regret later on. It's better to handle situations calmly. And even if you have to make a show of anger, do not inside get angry, but use the situation to help somebody, and better is to do it calmly, because when you get angry, not only the other person gets upset, but you get irritated more. So be careful about whenever, that's why we even tell our children, you know, when you're angry, count to 10. Remember, they used to tell them, why? Because that gives you time to think that, do I really need to be angry, or can I handle this situation calmly with patience, with, you know, with the right attitude. And you will find that 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, using patience, using calmness, using the same thing when it is said in that way, really will do a lot more, accomplish a lot more. That's why they say, you can catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Obviously, a person who is sweet and compassionate and kind can accomplish a lot more than a person who goes around throwing his weight and yelling at people and putting people down. And so anger is very self-destructive. This reminds me of a little story. This man asks his wife, he says, when I get mad at you, you don't say anything. I say all these things to you, you don't say anything. You don't even get angry. So she says, no, I clean the toilet bowl. He said, you don't get angry, you clean the toilet bowl? How does that help? She says, I use your toothbrush. So men, be careful. So be careful about anger. It's not good. It doesn't help the person and doesn't help the surroundings. The fifth value is parushya. Parushya is harsh speech. Harsh speech. Because obviously when I'm angry, then I become harsh, right? Then I say things that are very hurtful or very mean or very, and there are some people who deliberately say things to hurt others. When somebody is not good, they will point out his faults and make him feel low and make him feel miserable. Again, because why? Because they have to maintain their arrogance. They have to maintain their self-conceit. So they'll focus on people's faults and point it out. And so this hurtful speech is these people are hurting society. They are very hateful. They're very harsh. Nobody wants to deal with them. Nobody wants to talk to them. Nobody wants to. I'm sorry we are talking all negative qualities, but that is the worst. I can't help it. The last three verses were, they were talking about the good values. And this is a very sad verse, but it is there. Because only when you know, see, these are the things I have to avoid. Why is the teacher telling me? That look within you and see, do I have hypocrisy? Do I have arrogance? Do I have conceit? Am I harsh in my speech? Am I angry? So consciously develop the negative, like in the prayer of Saint Francis, O Heavenly Father, where there is anger, let me bring love. Where there is hatred, let me bring compassion. So that is the idea of knowing all these, that I have to develop the positive qualities. This reminds me of a very beautiful story, Prajapati. Prajapati is the creator, Brahmaji, the creator. So when he created the whole world, there were three different kinds of people. There were the gods, there were the humans, and there were the demons. So, there in any society, we find people who are extremely good, people who are bad, and then people who are in between. So after these people were created, they all said, we need to go to the Prajapati, to the creator, to learn something. Because he is the teacher, the original teacher. Brahmaji is the original teacher. So they all went to him. So the gods went first. The gods live in heaven. So they said, can you teach us something? What should we practice? So he said, the. What do you mean, the? The stands, the stands for Dama, D. The Dhamma. So he says, what do you mean the? He says, Dhamma, you need to practice self-control. Why? Because the gods in heaven, they indulge, right? They're all the time eating, drinking. In heaven is what? It's a place for luxury. You can eat what you want. You can drink what you want. There's dances going on, parties going on, all kinds of fun. And so he said, no, you don't need to do that. You are in heaven because of your good deeds. But when you are in heaven, learn from the other people who are there. Learn from the teachers and try to go even higher. Don't be satisfied just by going to heaven, because heaven is a place of luxury. And that's why they say, Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. They say in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, once your good deeds are exhausted, then after your heaven is not a permanent place, you will come back to earth where you have to continue your journey. So do not just spend your life in enjoyment, but try to better yourself. So to the devas, he said, the dama, control yourself. Do not indulge too much. Humans went. They said, what should we do? Creator, O Prajapati, what should we do? He says, the. Again, he said, the. What do you mean, the? He said, danam, practice charity. Share, help others. Not only keep your success to yourself, but share with others what you have. So that better the whole society. Because suppose there is a rich man living in a big palace and around him there are all slums and all bad, you know, neighborhood and crime and all. Sooner or later they will take over, right? But if he helps them also to come up, to become better, then the whole society will improve. But if he is rich and everybody else is poor, sooner or later they say, why is this guy have so much money? Let's attack him. And that's what happens. So, danam. So, do charity. Then how about the danavas, the demons? He told them, again, the. He said, what do you mean, the? He said, the means daya, compassion. So, be compassionate. Be kind to others. Do not be harsh. So, the point is that in our life, we need to practice all three. Even though we are humans, but we need to practice self-control. We need to practice charity and we need to practice daya or compassion. So these qualities, when they are developed in us, then slowly from humans, we will evolve to become saints. So these 26 values that we had talked about will be developed in us when we consciously avoid these five. And then the sixth one is called ignorance, which is the root cause. I don't have time to cover it today, but we'll talk about it next week because ignorance actually is the most important and it needs some time. So I won't cover that today. If there are any comments or any questions?
This is what I can't wrap my head around. I was reading someplace, either I read it here or heard it here or someplace else, that it's not good or evil, it's good or not good. So how come I'm reading this as good or evil?
No, but when they're saying when you're not good, then you're under the influence of negative tendencies.
Okay.
So if you're not good, then you are negative. Then you are under the influence of negative.
Okay, but not totally evil.
Not total. Those are the rakshasas. Those we are not talking about. The incorrigibly evil. Most of us want to be good because we all have the same Atman, the Self, the Lord, the consciousness is in every one of us. We have the ability to be good, but either because of circumstances or because of wrong understanding, we have fallen from that. Mm-hmm. But there are a group who are, you know, like the drug addicts, the out and out criminals, you know, we are not talking about those because those people, they have to go through jail and suffer through this, you know, through all the problem, and then they will maybe reform in this life or in the other. But most of us fall in the category of asuras. Devas are, you know, like the saints or the very, very evolved people. Most of us are a mixture. You know, we are not out and out good or out and out bad, but we are a mixture. So the idea of studying this knowledge is to evolve towards sainthood. Yeah, so that is where we are. Yeah, we don't fall in the third category, hopefully not. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You know, if we are here, that means we want to improve. That's why we want to get better. Yeah, so it is either good or not good, basically. Yeah, it's not incorrigibly evil. That's not even the... So, and these tendencies, we may not have all. We may have in some degree. You know, we may have some in some degree, some in not. And the point is that the 26 values have been given before so that you study those 26 values. And then try to develop these. And if I have these, so the Bhagavad Gita, again, as we have talked before, is a mirror, shows you where you are and how, if there's any blemish on my face, I can wipe it off. So this shows me what if there's a blemish in my mind, how can I wipe it off? So the Bhagavad Gita is a mirror for my mind. Just as a mirror shows my face, the Bhagavad Gita shows me the state of my mind.
I also have one other question. There are people, we're talking about people who are arrogant and conceited, and that there are also people who have such low self-esteem and have no confidence at all, and they're depressed and they just have nothing. That seems like almost a negative quality as well. Is there a word for that?
Well, I think then they talk about the tamasic people. It also comes in the Gita, where people are, don't want to do anything for themselves. So you know, here it talks about that. But there is a word for those people who don't want to accomplish anything, who basically are just content to let society take care of them. And yeah, and but then again, if with the right knowledge, they can improve. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha, Harihi Om.